O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. He is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him. O sing unto the Lord a new song, Alleluia. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen, Alleluia. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O sing unto the Lord a new song, Alleluia. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen, Alleluia.
Right on.
The Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday of Easter is written in the 12th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, the Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, declare his doings among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known in all the earth. Cry aloud and shout, you inhabitant of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the first chapter of James, beginning at the 16th verse. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, nor turning shadow. Of his own will he gave birth to us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Alleluia, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, Where are you going? But because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the counselor won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he has come, he will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin because they don't believe me. About righteousness, because I am going to my Father and you won't see me anymore. About judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will declare it to you. Here ends the gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen, which means he is one, which our psalm proclaims today, saying his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
God's right hand is his strength, and that's Christ. It's Christ who in his death showed divine strength by paying for the sins of the world and crushing the serpent's head. Christ is God's sacred arm, flexing his strength by winning the victory of salvation on the cross and rising again so we may be justified. Christ is God's right arm and right hand and sacred arm, who ascending into heaven is God's strength and power with authority over all creation. That's why Christ says, "Now I am going to him who sent me." He is showing God's strength. This is the Son incarnate, having died, descended into hell to gloat over the serpent and the serpent's den, who rose again, that is now ascending into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and rule over all creation as a man. See, that's where God shows his strength here, is that there is a man, there is a brother of ours in the flesh who has paid for sin, crushed the devil, ended death, and sits as the king over all things. A man shares our flesh and rules over all. Our Lord returns to him who sent him in a show of strength in our flesh. But, just as we saw the disciples last week, so we see them also this week, the disciples know he is returning to heaven, but they don't know why. And they don't really care why. That's why our Lord says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." You see, their hearts are too filled with sorrow, just thinking that it means with Christ leaving that they're just going to be alone. That things are just going to go back to the way they were before they met him. That once he leaves, then they'll just be persecuted for following him and then forgotten throughout time. They don't ask Christ, "Where are you going?" because in sorrow, they're too busy asking in themselves, "Why aren't you staying here with us in this world, in this life?" But unlike the disciples, we are now on the other side of the ascension. We have the scriptures to know where our Lord went and why. We know that he's in heaven sitting on his throne. And despite the world around us, we know that there is this heavenly reality. That even though the church suffers here on earth, when our enemies attack us, when the world would love to secretly or out in the open kill the church, still our Lord reigns in heaven. But even though we know that, even though we have that knowledge, still when we suffer, we end up being more like the disciples than we'd like to admit. When we suffer in the faith, we don't ask, "Where is Jesus now?" But instead, we become filled with sorrow, asking the same thing as the disciples, "Why isn't he staying here with us? Why isn't he physically here with me?" Yes, he died and rose for us, and yes, he won salvation for the Father, and he gives that salvation to you. Yes, he remembered us and loved us and was faithful to us when he died back on the cross, but that was 2,000 years ago. We're now 2 millennia in the future from that event. Why isn't he here with us right here, right now? Why do we need to suffer here when he's all the way up there? Why does there have to be this separation? And so we often have that mindset of the disciples. And so when the disciples are there sorrowing, when we sorrow in our sins, along comes this psalm today that the church chose to meet us in sorrow. And as the psalm meets us in sorrow, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." So just to make sure we understand this, as the disciples sorrow, as we sorrow here on earth, when as we ask, why isn't Jesus here right now, the psalm comes up and says, no, you're wrong. He's here. In fact, the psalm says, you think he's not here, but really, God is revealing his righteousness to each and every nation, to the ends of the earth. He is here. He's revealing himself. And then we have to ask, how can this be? How is it that Jesus went back to him who sent him, and that we see him no more? And along with that, God's righteousness, which is Christ crucified, is revealed to all nations around the globe even as we speak. Our Lord died and rose outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. All eyewitnesses to that fact have been long dead. And yet, the psalm proclaims that his death and resurrection, even though we can't see him, that his death and resurrection are still being uncovered everywhere around the earth. Again, how can that be? But what our psalm proclaims, our Lord also says. He explains this. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then later, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what the psalm is saying and what Jesus is saying is this. If Christ ascends and doesn't send the Spirit, then his death and resurrection would have remained hidden in history 2,000 years ago. Our large catechism states this as well. It says his salvation would remain concealed. No one would know about it. It would be a treasure that remains buried if the Holy Spirit was never sent. So if the Spirit was never sent, if Christ never ascends and the Spirit is never sent, we'd have every right to ask in every moment of suffering, why isn't Christ here with us? If he never sent the Spirit, we'd have every right to ask all the time to God, why aren't you here with us? But when Christ ascended, he did and he does send the Spirit. And the Spirit through the church, by the word and the sacraments, is constantly revealing Christ crucified and risen to every nation unto the ends of the earth. This is what the Spirit does. This is his work. It is to reveal the righteousness of God to all people, to make Christ's victory declared and known and applied and perpetuated all over the earth. The Spirit has been revealing Christ crucified through the church for over 2,000 years. And that revelation is so vivid that when the Spirit shows the world Christ crucified in the Word, when the world hears of it by the Spirit in the Word that Christ has been crucified, the world refuses to believe. And when the Spirit shows the world Christ crucified in the sacraments and in the church, the world refuses to look at the church and see. And when the Spirit shows the serpent's head being crushed, when the Spirit shows that its ruler has been judged, still the world refuses and it continues to follow him. And so what Christ is saying is, so vividly does the Spirit reveal Christ crucified that the world is without excuse. And the Spirit will then convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. But it's different for you. You who have heard the word and believed You who not only have seen Christ's righteousness, but you are clothed in it. You who have received his salvation in faith and have been saved from the ruler of this world. The Spirit doesn't convict you. But the Spirit glorifies Christ by giving you all that is Christ. Forgiveness, righteousness, life, salvation, victory, all that is yours. The Spirit takes our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection from 2,000 years ago, and he makes that your reality right now. Everything you do is within that reality of Christ crucified because of the Spirit. So that it's so much our reality, so that even in suffering, the Scriptures don't lead us to ask, why isn't the Lord here now? That's not what the psalm tells us to do in suffering. Instead, in suffering with hope, the psalm tells us to sing to the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises. You've heard me preach here now for about 5 years. And you know that in our preaching, we don't shy away from saying that we're in an increasingly dark and hostile world. That the West, which has been Christian for centuries upon centuries, in the last century has turned away from the church. The culture now goes against the church, goes after the church. So that we have to watch what our children learn. We have to watch what we listen to because our suffering is increasing. We don't shy away from saying that the world is bleak, but I don't preach that to you to fill you with sorrow. Or to paralyze you with fear. I preach it to you because it's true. And so that when you know that, when you know the world is an evil place, you may cling to Christ crucified, whom the Spirit reveals to you. And so that with faith and strength and courage and confidence by the Spirit in Christ, you may go out and be in this world as a confident Christian in Christ without being of this world, without becoming of this world. Even when that means suffering in it. We tell you this so we may teach our children in this same faith, so they may do the same thing, go out in the world without being of it. Because all too often, in suffering, we mourn in sorrow and we should be singing in our Lord's resurrection. I know there's always questions when chanting begins in the church. I know there's been questions about why we sing so much during the service, or why I've been chanting throughout the service, or why I'm doing it more and more, especially the words of institution. But look at what our psalm says today. Sing to the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. In faith, this is who we are, in suffering and outside of suffering. We're a people who sing in the joys of our Lord. We sing by the Spirit. Realize how incredible that is. Before you were baptized, you couldn't sing in the Spirit. Now, because of the Spirit, you can sing to God. And we sing to teach the Word. We sing to confess the faith. We sing and we chant, not just because we can, but we do it to uplift and exalt the Word. Together, we make a joyful noise to hold the Word in highest reverence. This is the way. When you revere the Word, you show it in service by singing it back to God. That's the highest form of reverence, prayer and singing His Word back to Him. Our Lutheran tradition is full of joyful singing that flows from this psalm. And the amazing thing is this, the more the Lutheran Church has suffered in her history, the more beautiful her music has been. Our most beautiful hymns come from our worst suffering. Because it's in suffering when our doctrine and the Word teaches us to cling to Christ the most. Compared to those throughout history, our generations today have not nearly treasured the gift of music as those before us. Men, do you know that you were created by God to sing? That's part of your masculinity, is to sing, to belt it out. And if you're a terrible singer, belt it out all the more. We'll just cover it up. We'll sing louder. And women, your voices were created to join the men's. Parents, make sure your children are taught the beauty of music, and especially music in the church. Have them learn piano. Have them learn organ. Have them learn all the instruments that lead the church in singing. Don't let professional artists take over singing. Singing belongs to the church. Learn to sing to the Lord a new song every day. Not that you need to create a new song every day, but when you meditate on the Word every day, when you repent and are forgiven every day, you are given new blessings by God every day, and that is your reason to sing these ancient hymns and ancient psalms. You sing them new to Him every day because His blessings are new every day. So let the earth hear us sing. Let us invite those of the earth to come to us and join us in singing to God in the faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Seraphim, continually.
insist upon thee to deliver me, man. Didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin, and thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death. Thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God, in the glory of the Father. We believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee, help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood.
Mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, who makes the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant unto your people that they may love what you command, and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may be there fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic, with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Joseph, our president, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our governor, the legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially do we pray for those that we name in our hearts at this time. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and our souls and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.